Here's Kurt Lundgren with the news on WCCO.
20 degrees, flurries at 12:30. Good morning. President-elect Bill Clinton is expressing full support for Wednesday's airstrike on Iraq by U.S., British, and French warplanes, and says he cannot rule out any future attacks. But in the New York Times, Clinton says if Saddam Hussein follows international norms, there could be normal relations between Washington and Baghdad. The middle class may be kept waiting for that tax cut that Bill Clinton proposed during his presidential campaign. The president-elect says he'll have to reconsider the proposal in light of the Bush administration's dramatically higher deficit projections. A trio of reports due out today will reveal more about the condition of the economy. The government releases numbers on retail sales, jobless claims, and inflation at the wholesale level. The retail sales report is the most anxiously awaited because consumer spending accounts for two-thirds of total economic activity. Jay Leno says we'll find out today if NBC is giving him a solid commitment to remain in his current Tonight Show slot.
Which they will.
Following reports, the network had considered giving him the 10:30 p.m. Central Time spot to David Letterman. The Washington Post quotes sources as saying Letterman's move to CBS is the proverbial done deal. A.C. Earl broke out of a scoring slump with 19 points, and Val Barnes added 16 to lead the Gophers, rather to lead Iowa to win over the Gophers tonight at Iowa City, 84-77, the big upset in college basketball tonight. Unranked Vanderbilt overwhelmed number one Kentucky, 101-86. Duke beat Wake Forest, 86-59. North Carolina, 80. Georgia Tech, 67. Cincinnati, 72. Cleveland State, 63. Virginia beat Clemson, 182. Purdue over Wisconsin, 76-60. Georgetown beat DePaul, 74-45. And it was Michigan State, 77. Ohio State, 60. Avery Johnson scored a season-high 17 points Wednesday night as the San Antonio Spurs defeated the Timberwolves 89-81, marring the debut of Timberwolves interim coach Sidney Lowe. Elsewhere around the league, Detroit got 20 points from Isaiah Thomas, beating Dallas 112-96, the first game for new Mavericks coach Gar Hurd, who replaced fired Richie It's Not My Fault Adubato on Wednesday. Philadelphia outscored Golden State 129-122, with the Sixers getting 29 points from Jeff Hornacek and 28 apiece from Clarence Weatherspoon and Johnny Dawkins. Boston held off a late Washington charge, beating the Bullets 98-93. New Jersey rode 25 points from Derek Coleman and 23 from Kenny Anderson to a 104-98 win over Cleveland. Cavs had 20 turnovers in that game. And at Denver, Nuggets won for just the second time in 18 games, beating the Knicks 108-92. Reggie Williams led the winners with 22 points, and Dikembe Mutombo added 16 rebounds and 6 blocks.
The Wolves are the only home team on the slate that lost tonight.
I like this Clarence Weatherspoon for the Sixers, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't he's a bench player, isn't not a starter, but fun to watch.
You bet.
All right, Bill, snow's ended. I suppose what will follow will be cooler weather.
Well, yeah, we still have a few areas of light snow around. Kurt, Rochester has some light snow in 18, but the clouds are starting to break in parts of Minnesota, and where the clouds have broken, the temperatures are dropping. Alexandria, partly cloudy and 7 above. Skies are clearing in the Dakota, in North Dakota, and Williston down to 18 below already. In the Twin Cities, we may see a few breaks in the overcast. We'll also have a few flurries during the night. No accumulation, though. Lows, upper teens. And fortunately, the winds will stay light, north to northwest, at only 5 to 10 miles per hour. The upcoming day, a mostly cloudy one, a bit cooler, a chance of morning flurries, highs near 20, and the winds will become light and variable under a weak and temporary ridge of high pressure. Clouds will thicken again on Friday with a chance of light snow. Morning low near 10, afternoon high near 23. Right now, clouds and a few flurries, wind north at 7 miles per hour. 92% are Twin Cities humidity, and the temperature is 20.
News you want, people you know, WCCO. St. Paul, Minneapolis at 830.
I guess the only home teams to lose today were the Wolves and Iraq.
And on that note, it's Teen Tragedy Night here.
Ooh.
At the Downs.
Teen Angel, Teen
Angel,
Teen Angel.
Mark Denning?
Bingo.
That fateful night, the car stalled. Upon the railroad track.
Happy little song.
I pulled you out and we were safe. But you went running back. Teen angel, can you hear me? Teen angel, can you see me? Are you somewhere up above? And I'm
Touching, eh?
Touching, touching, very touching.
Well, more to come.
Yeah, well, good. Teen Tragedy Night.
Yeah.
Here on Night Talk with...
So many of them had the cars getting stalled on the railroad tracks,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they did. A lot of that happens in country western songs, too, but then usually your mother dies on your way home from prison.
No, it's usually the dog that runs back to the car.
While after your mother dies? On the day you got out of prison. Right?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Let's go to Bruce in St. Paul. Bruce, how are you this evening?
Yeah, hi, Dart. Congratulations on the new time slot.
Thanks.
That's a promotion, isn't it?
I'd like to think so. You know.
That interim stop on the national syndication, right?
You know, I was somebody asked me today what my goals were, and like an interview thing.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "What are your goals now that you've moved into prime time?" And I said, this is it. My dreams come true. This is it for me. 9 to 1 on a radio station in Minneapolis, the biggest radio station. And, I mean, what else could I ask for?
Now, are you going to change your format at all? Are you going to do more interviews, or are you still going to keep it primarily to
the
call-in?
It'll be the basic advanced craziness that we've been doing here for quite a few years.
So, no change?
No change.
Okay.
No. We'll do, it'll be, in all honesty...
Yeah.
We're going to do some interviews and some things. We'll have more interviews. And the only reason that we'll have more interviews is because all the people that I begged to come on here from midnight to 3 that said it was too late are now calling us saying, "Hey, we'd really like to come on at 9 o'clock. So we'll have all those people. Have something to say and, you know, want to use WCCO to say it. But we'll also give the audience a chance to rebut the situation, too.
Yeah, that's good. Look forward to it.
Yeah. We're going to have, we've spoken to politicians, business leaders and people of that nature, and we'll ask them questions out of the scope of it. When I do an interview, when I listen to an interview, I like to hear something about the person.
Exactly.
And not so much, you know, do you think that the deficit spending or the woof-woof on your bow-wow, that's good. I mean, all that stuff is fine. But, you know, I want to know if the guy smoked marijuana when he was in high school.
And inhaled.
I want to know if the guy was ever in a serious car accident. I mean, I want the guy to tell me something that nobody's ever heard before.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll try and do some of that.
But not under a shock radio format.
No, I'm too old and too weary at this point to involve myself with shock radio. I don't like shock radio.
No, I don't either, but you know, I was surprised to hear Howard Stern is number one in New York and Washington, and he's number two in L.A.
Why does that surprise you?
Well, it surprises me when, on the same hand, Rush Limbaugh's book is still on the bestseller list.
Yeah.
I think people are drawn to these extremes, and I don't understand it myself.
No, I think people, you know, it's radio soap opera.
Yeah.
They want to hear a little kid talk dirty, and then they giggle, and, you know, they don't... have you heard Howard Stern's radio show?
No, I never have.
It's just, I heard it last time I was in Washington. I listened to it for a little bit. And it's vulgar.
Yeah.
But it's not the kind of thing that... There's a certain element here in Minnesota that won't take to it.
Yeah.
It's just not something that would become a part of our culture here, a culture that until 1983 had no gambling. So maybe... who knows?
I missed your Sid Hartman interview, but, I think it was at least about a couple of years ago, the best line I ever heard on Sid and Dave's morning radio program was one that you provided. You were in the studio, and you told Sid that you agreed with everything he said except the sports stuff.
Right.
Best line I've heard.
Fair and square. And I meant every word of that.
And Sid was taken aback.
Right.
Speechless.
Right. Yeah. I had a lot of fun doing the interview, and then he ripped me on Monday and Tuesday.
I heard that
was good.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you spell it right, that's all I care about.
Well, I was surprised. I thought you guys at WCCO were a close-knit family.
Yeah, we're real tight.
I didn't think that was allowed.
I think there's a special set of rules for Sid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's Sid's rules, and then there's the rules of radio.
Well, Sid's rules are devised by Suchere, right?
Sid's rules, yeah. Sid's rules. Sid rules, right. I think Sid's rules for Sid are pretty much like that line from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. rules in a knife fight? You know, I mean, with Sid, there's no rule.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Sid.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Sid makes all the rules as he goes along.
He makes them up, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Could you imagine playing Monopoly with Sid?
Oh, God, no.
I mean, you know, he gets one house on Mediterranean, you land on it.
Yeah.
They come and take your car away. I mean, you know, that would be the way it would work.
Yeah, that'd be bad news.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you make of this Iraq business?
Well, I'll tell you, what surprised me was the fact that the border between Kuwait and Iraq is basically undefended. Because evidently what's defending the border is the UN peacekeeping force.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these guys are people that wear blue helmets and drive in white trucks.
Right.
And they were overwhelmed by unarmed Iraqi civilians over the last 2-3 weeks. What doesn't make sense to me is, and I know they've got Republican Guard battalions still in the below the 32nd parallel and near Basra and whatnot. So
right.
When we spent all that money and all that effort and that huge... huge amount of resources that were expended, and what would stop the Republican Guard from just making a bum rush to Kuwait City tomorrow?
Yeah,
I don't think a whole lot.
No,
you know, certainly they'd pay for it, but they could do it. I don't understand why, when we went through all that effort, we didn't leave something behind, aside from just air power to defend what we won.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. You know, the UN peacekeeping force. Not a big deterrent factor.
Yeah. And other interesting side effects here, off the record, several people have told us that in Somalia, the Marines have all been moved to the coast. All of them. To the coast.
Yeah.
There are no more Marines in the inland areas, which tells you that at a moment's notice they can be moved into another situation.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the indication that you could draw from that. But bad time for all this. Presidential transition. Maybe we're looking for a step forward here, and we're going to have to take a kind of a step back and sideways with all this, depending on how it escalates.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was kind of overplayed. I mean, it was a 30-minute raid and basically took out missiles.
Yeah.
And, you know... I think it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, we slapped his wrist after he provoked, and I suppose we'll do some of that off and on for the next several months.
Yeah. We had it on here every 30 seconds for 9 hours.
Yeah.
You know? But I made the comment earlier tonight that it was kind of like an intramural basketball game to me.
Yeah.
You know? With the seniors playing the freshmen.
And no home field advantage. The point spread was pretty significant.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to make the United States like, what, 23 and a half or take the game off the board or something. But this thing between Bush and Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
If that's what it is.
It's a Hoffa-Kennedy kind of thing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, I got a week left. I'm going to take one more shot at you.
Yeah.
You'll see as one of the feature stories tomorrow morning in the Star and Trip Wire, as the days dwindle, last crack at Saddam, Bush exits on an unorthodox note, and they use words like persistent vexation.
Oh yeah.
And I guess that's what it is. I guess.
Yeah, and I think it will amplify the question as to whether or not we ended the war too early, and so forth and so on, and. And whether or not Schwarzkopf's initial response, which he gave over the air, was that we did. And then, of course, he backtracked from that. You know, I think that'll always be debated.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be no conclusion on it, I don't think. But you know, the Kuwaiti people, I think, are pretty resolved in the notion that Saddam Hussein, it may not be next year, the year after, or 5 years, but somewhere down the line, they'll have to confront him again.
Yeah.
I mean, and it just seems odd that we would, we're going to be faced with that again.